I'm back. For those of you who don't know, my name's Caitlin or Katie, and I did Harvest School 30 this summer with Iris Global, which was started by Heidi Baker. So I ended up going to 7 countries total for a little over 2 months, learning how to do the stuff and then doing the stuff on the mission field. So yeah, it was really good. You know, I might talk about it. I might not. I'm just submitted to the Spirit. Let's just see what happens. So I'm just going to pray. Yeah, Lord God, I just thank you for all that you're doing in this place, all that you've done and all that you're going to continue to do here. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just crash in, Lord. Come infiltrate this place. Come infiltrate our hearts. Come to us in a way like we haven't had you come before, Lord. I just ask that any words that come out of my mouth would only be words that you want me to say, God. Lord, that your anointing would just fall down. Let your oil come down, Lord. Because I can't do this without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just going to start pulling up my Bible on my phone. So 7 countries is a lot to talk about. So we're just going to start with the Bible because that's a lot easier. Yeah, so we're going to go to Mark 5, 1 through 20. Let's start there. That's good, Jesus. I like that. Okay, so I just want to let you guys know that Jesus loves you a lot. He is radically chasing after your heart in a way that you cannot imagine. And he loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've said. He doesn't care about all of that. He loves you anyway. So here in Mark 5, for those of us who don't know the story, I'm going to give us a recap. So this was right after Jesus fed the 5,000. So he multiplied some loaves and some fish. Multiplication of food is very cool. We had to have it happen a lot this summer because you just run out of food. Like, it's a thing. You're in Africa and you just run out of food. So, like, multiplication of food is real. We know that. And we also know that demon-possessed madmen are also real. So I'm reading from the Passion Translation because I just absolutely love it. So that is the description of the man that approaches Jesus. A demon-possessed madman came out of the graveyard and confronted Jesus. So if you can just imagine this, Jesus stepping off the boat. He probably already knows this is going to happen. I don't know. And we also know he's naked. He just comes running out and he's just demon-possessed, right? So he had been living in the tombs, and they hadn't even been able to restrain him with chains. So this guy was just breaking out of chains. That's some scary stuff. Like, that's like top level demonic, right? So no one could subdue him. He would just lurk around the cemetery. That's pretty weird, right? Like, this is a man. This is a man just lurking around the cemetery. That is pretty strange. So he sees Jesus and he starts screaming, "Leave me alone, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Swear in God's name that you won't torture me." So this man and these demons within this man recognize the Son of the King Most High. They see him, say, "Please don't torture me." When demons encounter Jesus, they know it, and they know if we are carrying him. I had lots of nights in Madagascar waging war. So we stayed at a scripture union at the bottom of a hill where human sacrifice is still done. So you can only imagine the spiritual realm there. We call them creepy crawlies. We gave them a code name because we didn't want to give them power. Like, we didn't want to say, like, we didn't, like, want to talk about it, but we kind of had to because we were processing because it was, like, in more of a magnitude than we had ever experienced before. So I had, like, 3 stationed creepy crawlies at the edge of my bed. No one else's bed. They were just at the end of my bed. One really big one and then usually, like, 2 little minions. They would just snarl and growl, and no amount of, like, casting would get these things out. And it's because I was afraid. The first night they showed up in my room and woke me up at 3 a.m., I was like, oh, like, this is what we're doing. Like, I know I learned about this, but, like, this is actually what we're doing. One night I texted my dad, thank the Lord for time zones. The only one time I'll say that. He was awake. He's like, okay, here's what you do. Because I was hearing like all the ones running around upstairs in the hallway. I thought I was losing my mind. So anyway, overcame the fear, cast those demons out, put them back where they belong. Because once they recognized that it was solely Jesus in me and no more fear, they got the heck out of there because they didn't belong there. So I can just imagine how Jesus is feeling looking at this crazy man. We're talking a man, but like the demons inside of him. It's just, oh, I love this passage. It's also like one of the most angering ones. Okay. So Jesus gave them permission and the demon horde immediately came out of the man and went into pigs. Then the pigs went and drowned themselves. So we're talking 2,000 pigs. Jesus completely destroys the livelihood of a farmer who has all these pigs. He just kills all his pigs. That's why this is so frustrating to me. Like, to free a man, he did whatever it took because that's how much he loved him. He loved this man so much that he killed 2,000 pigs. Right? That is how much he wanted this man set free. There's just something really beautiful about that. So everyone was coming to see what happens. Let me tell you, word travels really, really fast in a small village. You, like, white people drive into a remote village that you off-road to, and everyone is there in 1 minute. There's no door-to-door. They're just there. Right. Word travels quickly. So those who had witnessed the miracle reported it to other people. And then, oh, this gets me. So Jesus gets in the boat to leave, right? So he gets in the boat and the man comes up to him. Jesus, can I come with you? Can I be an apostle? Now, from my point of view, that doesn't seem too bad. Like, if you're not sure what to do, and you don't really know where you belong, chasing after Jesus seems like a really good choice. Trying to learn more from the King of Kings just really seems like a good place to be. So then Jesus answers, no. Like, no. You want to come after me. You want to follow me. You want to be one of my disciples. And the answer is no. We already know what's going to happen. But like, he didn't. He just hears no from the Savior of the world, who just rescued him from the darkest part of his life. He was walking around cemeteries. He was stuck in a cave. He had demons possessing him. And the Savior of his life says no. And he says no for a very important reason, because he launches him into his place in the Father's house and in the kingdom. So he says no, but instead said to him, go back to your home and to your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you. Tell them how he had mercy on you. So the man left and went into Jordan and parts of Syria to tell everyone he met Jesus and what he had done with him. And all of the people marveled. So the mission field is kind of glorified when we tell stories like, oh, these people got healed. These people got saved. Let me tell you, when I off-roaded into that remote village in Madagascar, little kids are screaming because of the color of my skin. They're coming up, they're touching me, and it doesn't wash off. It doesn't go anywhere. Like, I am this light. Usually I was red because sunburn is so real. And they're running the other way. That is not something I had heard missionaries talk about before, right? Like, there's just these little kids just screaming. So I am just trying to follow Jesus in all of this. Like this demon-possessed man, as someone who has been redeemed, as someone who has come out of some very dark places and was on the mission field, I was just trying to follow Jesus and do what he told me to do. So, you know, we did a bunch of skits. We did a whole bunch of stuff to get the people saved, right? Right? Like, you teach them about Jesus. You tell them they're loved. Like, Holy Spirit comes down. It's absolutely wild. And then you do the altar call for healing, okay? So you got like all these blind people coming in, all these people like carried off their beds. Sometimes you're like pulled to houses. So I'm like, yes, Jesus. Like, I've been sick for 3 weeks. I originally missed the outreach I was supposed to be on. Like, I was supposed to go with my color group. I didn't go because I was too sick. And the doctor was like, you're joking. I really so wanted to go, but it's fine. So I went on the one I was supposed to go to. And this lady comes up and she's like walking really weird. And there's something wrong with her knees. We get a translator for like 2 seconds in the beginning and that's like it. And I speak like 12 words of Malagasy and like 2 in French. So really I was thriving on getting involved in that culture language wise. And I was with my friend Ashley and she laid a hand on one knee. I laid a hand on another knee and I'm like praying this fervent, powerful prayer. And I have what I think is all the faith in all the world. Like I just, it's all on me and I got it. And this lady's knees are getting healed. It's like, this is how it was like. Okay. So I'm like in the dirt. It's so hot. I'm sweating. I'm always sweating. And I just put my hand on this lady's knee and I'm like, yeah, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come down, fill her up. Just put her back into the full alignment of the, and nothing happens. And I'm like, come on, God, let's try it again. Still sweating, still in the dirt. And now she's like, oh, did you feel that? It moved. And I'm like, yeah, I felt that. And I didn't feel anything. And I'm just like, what? It's happening. Like, I have all the faith, right? So I was like, okay, like, I'm out. It's not working. This lady, one leg is good, one is not. Someone else take over, because clearly I missed the mark. Happens with every single person in that village. I pray something super powerful. Holy Spirit's on me. Holy Spirit's there. Nothing happens. And that can be really discouraging when you drove 5 hours on a road, 2 hours off a road to find these people, right? So, okay, Jesus, are we going to talk about that? We're going to talk about that. So then we're in this church. 5 a.m. Sunday morning. That's when they start church. I'm not joking. Starts at 5 o'clock. Only thing in Africa that starts in time, right? So thank you. You get that. You got it. Yeah. Been there. Yeah, that's so good. Okay. So we're in this church, 5 o'clock in the morning. I haven't spoken at anything. I like narrated a skit of David and Goliath in a city square. Like, that's it. My hands clearly aren't anointed enough. It's just not working. So I like talked to the leaders the night before and I'm like, I really think I'm supposed to share. I don't know if I was supposed to share. I was just like, I'm here for a reason. So why don't you just like put me up there? So they did. They all prayed about it. And apparently I was right, which is good because usually I'm not. So I gave Jesus my yes throughout this whole trip. And that morning, I don't know, it was probably like 6:15. Service was like 3 hours. So long. I shared the story about how my dad got saved and how that led me to be where I was at that moment. That without the Lord coming to my dad, that I wouldn't have been there. I wouldn't be here where I am today, right? All it took was a yes from one man for his daughter to say yes, right? And I look out and we are talking like, guys, taking offering took like 15 minutes and every person has to drop something in. And there were like 20 ushers, I want to say, collecting money. Like, there's just so many people, okay? And finally, I looked out at the crowd and I just see Holy Spirit falling over everybody and everyone is just wailing, right? People are just like losing it. I was like, oh my God, finally, like finally, this is what this yes was for. I said yes to all the other things. And in my mind, they didn't do anything. For all we know, they probably planted some seeds. I don't know. Maybe they helped in the healing process. I don't know. But I gave him my yes anyway. I could have gotten discouraged after 10 botched healing attempts, right? Really could have. It's not easy. But I kept going. And that is something that's so important. Having the faith to keep going. So this demon-possessed man back here in Mark gave Jesus his yes, right? Jesus said no to one thing, but launched him into the yes of his ministry. Okay, so I find my place in the kingdom and what I'm supposed to be doing by giving God my yes, right? So when I left for this summer, this is probably top secret, I shouldn't tell you guys, I almost turned around at the airport. I was so sick. Vicky and my mom can testify. They brought me out to my favorite meal in the whole world at the distillery. It's chicken fingers and fries. I'll just tell you right now. If Jesus ever tells you to bring me that, just bring me it. It's just my favorite. So we got my favorite meal. I eat like one piece of chicken. That's how you know something is just so wrong with me, right? Because I will eat even if I'm like so stomach sick. Doesn't matter. I get to the airport and I'm just like, I have 36 hours of flying ahead of me to get to this place where I know nobody. I've never been on a flight longer than 6 hours. Like, am I really about to do this? And you know, Vicky looked at me and she was like, are you really about to do this? And my mom was like, you can turn back down. You're so sick. And I was just, and then they were both like, no, you can do it. I was like, okay, I can do it. And I'm like crying, saying goodbye to Sophie, who's like, she's basically my niece, right? Sophie, yeah, love you. She's in the back. Cute cat ears. She's bomb.com. Picked out my earrings. Helps with outfits, you know? So I didn't want to go. At the last moment, after I had all that money invested, you know, this happens, I think, every time before a trip. You just get that moment of, I'm not going, I'm turning back right now. I can still turn back. I can still turn back, right? But I gave him my yes anyway. So, yeah, come on. Thank you. Oh, talking back. Yes, yes. Okay. So now we're going to go to Matthew 14. This is all going to tie in. I know it's like a lot of tangents. Just roll with me. We're going to keep going. So in Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Matthew 14, 22 to 33. I have to repeat it because I never get it in time when the preacher says it usually. And then I'm like, where are we? Where are we? Where are we at? Okay. It's probably just me. So, all right. Who here has tried to walk on water before? Yeah. So has anyone actually walked on water before? Yo, that's wild. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah, we're going to talk. Give me that anointing. I received that. Okay. That is not fair. That's a joke. That's a physics joke. Oh my. Who has actually walked on the liquefied form of water? Y'all are playing me. Oh my gosh. Get out of my house right now. No. Okay. I do. Usually people, like, in high school, I don't know, we just throw shoes when it's, like, a good note. So I've really almost thrown shoes at you guys if you've preached since I've gotten back. I've, like, reached down for this shoe and then, like, we don't throw shoes in America. Okay. So, like, feel free to, like, wave a shoe, like, shout. Like, it's really okay, guys. It's really okay. So this is the story of, you know, the walking on the water. We're just going to turn it upside down and inside out. So let's start in 24. But the boat by this time was already a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, which was between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. We're just going to pause there. Dead middle of the night. Creepy stuff happens in the middle of the night. I know, especially during that fourth watch. Real creepy stuff happens, you know? So we have, sorry, my dad just gets us on a whole new level. So, you know, disciples in the boat, and Jesus is just walking on the water to them. Okay. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. I don't blame them at all. Okay? When I wake up in the middle of the night and it's 3 a.m., I'm like, where's my sword? I know it's not because I have to go to the bathroom, right? Like, it's because something's going funk in the night. Usually. I don't blame them for thinking it was a ghost. Someone's walking you. That is creepy. Also, you're scared because you're in a boat and it's a storm, right? So there's just all these factors piling on to they're terrified. Which, I don't blame them. Half the time, I don't blame them for most of the stuff they did. I probably would have done stupider things, so it's fine. And Jesus spoke to them saying, we're in 27, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it is really you, command me to come to you on the water." Let's just pause. He doesn't even know if it's Jesus. Lord, if it's you, if. Okay, I don't know if I would be calling out to a thing on the water that I think is a ghost. I don't know if I would be calling him Jesus, right? Like, this is such a fear but faith-fueled situation. And Jesus commands him and says, come. So Peter gets out of the boat and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the effects of the wind, he was frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus extended his hand and caught him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So I feel like usually this is the catch line of when people preach on this. Like, you started to doubt, therefore you started to sink. But something that I really want to focus on is the other 11 in the boat and the one in the water, right? So we had one who said yes, and we had 11 who didn't even offer a yes, okay? So he wasn't sure if it was Jesus, and Jesus said, come. And he said, yes, like, I'm going to walk on this water right now. I don't think it's such a bad thing that he sank a little bit when he saw the storm raging around him. I know if I'm sitting on the mission field and everything's going wrong, I recheck with my king and I show him the promises. He's given them to me. I'm like, were you sure? Is this my door out? Or like, were you super sure? Okay, because sometimes the storm is just raging so much that once you gave him your yes, you just double check. It's human nature. And I wish I could say that I came back here, whatever Wednesday ago it was, and like that I had like a flawless summer that I could report back and be like, yeah, this many saved, this many healed, this many whatever, didn't get sick at all, like boom, 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 all the good mission field reports you want, right? But like, it's just not like that. So I just want to go into a little bit more about giving God your yes. So another thing about this story, right? So we have the 11 and the, well, two, but one disciple. He was the only one to leave the boat. Sometimes when you give God your yes, you might be the only one doing it. And a yes looks very different for everybody. So sometimes your yes is being the first person in your family to say yes to the Lord and just getting saved. Sometimes it's being the first in what seems like your generation. Not actually, it's just what it feels like sometimes at college. To go on the mission field. Sometimes it's just simply being the first one that you can see. And that's okay, because when you start to sink, Jesus reaches out and he grabs your hand, right? That's immediately what he did, is he grabbed his hand. He wasn't going to let him sink, even when he did start to doubt, because he gave him his yes. He said yes to a promise, right? So in Mozambique, there's like, in where we were, in Tete, you can call it a bunch of things. Okay. So there's Portuguese, and then there's Yingwe. Portuguese is easy for me because I can kind of speak Spanish a little. And then Yingwe to me sounds like a bunch of sounds that don't sound like words, right? So we had been given like a stack of tracts one morning, and the missionaries were like, the long-term missionaries were screaming about them. Okay, like jumping up and down, throwing down prayers in Jesus' name, like all over. And we were like, what is happening? So it turns out there were missionaries who gave God their yes and spent 12 years in Tete, Mozambique, learning the language of Yingwe. And they had made the first ever translation of the Bible in this native language. And the missionaries had just gotten their hands on the SIM cards for it, like that people can plug into their phone so they can listen to it, the tracts, and then like the Bible translation. So we were there during a very crazy week, two weeks. So we were handed these tracts, and we were like, wow, like this is a serious gift. Like someone put 12 years of their life into this, and I was just given this big stack, which who knows how it even got to Africa. Like, if they shipped it, God bless it even more, because who don't ship stuff to Africa. So we had this tool. And one day we were at, how do I explain this quickly? We were at a center that rescues women from brothels who had no other choice. It's a very long story. They really didn't have a choice. We could talk about it over coffee sometime. And so we have these tracks. We're at the center. And we're also, like, helping take care of, like, the widows. There's, like, a widows program. And I am just, like, not feeling it. I woke up with gold dust that morning. So I knew, like, something wild was going to happen. Gold dust is, like, God's indicator for me. Like, just that he loves me, like, a lot. I don't know. That's just how I feel like it is with me. And, like, something wild is going to happen, okay? So I woke up covered in it. Like, my friend Liz noticed it, and it was just, like, all up my arm. It's, like, falling out of my hair. So I am ready. Like, I'm ready. I'm just, like, praying in tongues all morning. I'm like, yes, God, I got these tracks. What are we doing with these tracks? Come on, Holy Spirit. So then our leader goes, okay, you can do some outreach in the village. I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's go. Sunscreen on, hats on, let's go. We even got a translator who spoke English, Portuguese, and Yingwe, which is, like, impossible to find someone who speaks all those languages. Okay, granted, it was, like, very broken, but it doesn't matter because Holy Spirit just, like, fills up the rest of it. So we're, like, the minute we leave the gate, little kids are just, like, on us. These ones aren't scared of us because there are other white missionaries in the area. It's not, like, totally uncharted territory. So we, like, show them these tracks, and they just, like, so, like, okay, here's the track. This needs to be smaller. Okay, this is the track. And I'm, like, holding some. And they're all just, like, and they're, like, taking one. And they're, like, they're losing their minds. They start screaming. We're just, like, it's just a track. It's just a track, man. These little kids are losing their minds over the first tangible thing of the kingdom in their language. Can you imagine that? Imagine you have nothing written from the Lord in your own language. That is just so hard to imagine. And these little kids are losing their minds, right? There's, like, oh, so many kids. There's just so many kids. We're talking, like, at least 40 just right outside the gate waiting for us. So we start handing out tracks, just, like, giving them out. We, like, start playing soccer with the kids. I'm on, like, the soccer team. Someone else is, like, praying for this someone man. And then they just, like, start this prayer line. And it's just absolutely wild. I'm like, this is what the gold dust was for. Okay, Jesus. Okay, I'm on this, right? So one lady comes running up to us. And after we get the translation, it's like, her sister is so sick, and we have to go heal her right now. Like, if this Jesus can do what we say he can, we have to go heal her right now because she's not going to make it. We're like, whoa, that's real, right? Like, that's another real thing that you hear about in the mission school. You hear about back here at the reports at church. But it was the first time I had, like, seen someone come running out of a village, like, to get Jesus there, okay? So I have this team of, like, three other people. I don't know. All the villages look the same after a while. There's, like, I don't know. I'm in my yellow hat. The yellow hat is, like, the anointing. I don't know. So we, like, walk through this winding village. All the villages are winding. It's just, like, how do you guys remember the way out of here? So we get to, like, how do I explain this, Jesus? Like, this place where people hang their laundry to dry between the houses. It's like a little courtyard, kind of, and there's kind of, like, a front porch. Just imagine this all in African style, if you can. So, like, lots of dust and dirt, okay? And lots of beautiful people. And there's all these children. Okay, so now we have the very excited children about the tracks, like, behind us. Okay. We're like, we have a little army. So we come up to this house, and we, like, translator always gets very distracted, but we got him on track, and we were like, okay, what's wrong? And we come up to this lady sitting in a chair, and she's, like, not moving. She's just, like, sitting, and just like staring straight ahead. I'm like, is she okay? Like, what is going, staring straight ahead. So we get the translation and our translator is just like, she had an operation and she pulls up her shirt to like right here. And there is just this huge inflamed scar. So infected, just like, okay, we're in the bush in Africa. Got it. Like, and she can't move. She just sits here. And I said, okay, got it. Jesus got it, right? He's with me. Can we lay hands on her? He said, yeah. And we also have one of the widows with us who is just so on fire and probably knows the Bible like front to back from listening to it. And is just really like, is like so filled with Jesus. She's kind of scary, but like also really loving, you know, like that fear of God, but also just like, yes, he loves me. So we just, me and one of the other girls and the widow just lay hands on her. And I am just like on fire. Like, when that Holy Ghost fire hits, I wasn't sure how I was going to stay standing. So Holy Spirit smacks down, and we just lay hands on this lady. I don't even know what I said, because at this point, I'm like, it doesn't matter what I say, clearly. Learned that in Madagascar. Doesn't matter what you say. Like, it's all Jesus. It only has to do with you saying yes and obeying. So we put hands on her. We check the scar. It's fine. It looks almost healed. It's like a scar now. It's not an incision. Right? God just came down and answered. Because he is the one who protects his reputation. Not us. We don't protect his reputation. Right? He is in charge of fulfilling the promise that he's given you. You are only in charge of giving him your yes. So, it's kind of like this weird thing in Mozambique where like people don't get very excited about a healing. Like us foreigners are just like jumping up and down, like we're like, yes, more, let's go. We are just like going wild, like dancing all around. So, you know, just imagine that scene. Still 40 children, like just holding their tract. So they start bringing more people to us. So then there's this little baby who is scared of us. So I find the littler they are, the more afraid they are of you. Do you guys? Yeah. Okay. So little ones are just like very afraid of you. So I asked the mom if just like very quickly, if we could lay hands on so quickly. I touched this baby's head and I was like, that has to be a fever of well up into the hundreds. Like this baby was on fire. And just coughing, and you know, just, I just wanted to put this baby straight in the hospital. Like, how are you alive right now? Like, your fever is, it's the hottest skin I've ever felt in my whole life. So, we prayed, and there's just more people coming. So we just, like, there's, like, a whole bunch of other stuff happening. But then, when I laid hands on the baby again, it was cool skin. It was the temperature skin you should have. And Jesus came through again. So now here's my favorite one. So then, oh guys, this is so good. Okay, so then they bring up this lady. And she doesn't have cloudy eyes, but she has eyes that aren't making contact with anything. You know how like, you always look at something no matter how hard you try? Like you're always looking at something. She's just not looking at anything. So I was just like, okay. So, because you never really know, like, sometimes when someone's really demon-possessed, like, they just act really weird, too. So, like, you're never really sure. You just like to wait for the translator and for the Holy Spirit guidance. So, so the translator tells us that she's blind. We were like, okay, like, we got this. Thank God I have Jesus, because I even did the wrong thing, okay? Let me tell you. No one was moving on our team, because it was, like, that moment where I want to say yes, but I don't want to be the one that messes this up, right? Like, I don't want to be that missionary that went in to heal the blind person and they didn't get healed. Like, that would be, I've been there. I've already done that. So it's okay. Like, it's totally fine. I'm like, if it doesn't work, that's fine. That's on Jesus, not on me. Like, I tried. It's probably a little on me, but we're still working that out, me and Jesus. So I'm not about to, like, spit in dirt or anything. Like, I'm still working on that with Jesus, unless Holy Spirit is, like, spit in the dirt. Like, it's just not happening. So I covered her eyes like this, and I said something like, yeah, Jesus, just come heal her eyes, because if you don't, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I did the snaps for deaf ears. I did the wrong thing. It was so great. I was just like, yeah, healer God. And I just did some, like, deaf ear snaps. Like, I don't know. I've seen people do that when people are deaf. And then I took my hands off this lady's eyes, and she looked me straight in the eye. And she just smiled. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay. Guys, I did the wrong thing. Like, I mean, I know it's still, like, the head area, but, like, the totally wrong thing. And, like, Jesus still did it, but yeah, like, he still came through because he took my yes. That's all I had to give him. I didn't have to give, like, this big, powerful prayer about Holy Spirit filling her up and all this stuff. I didn't have to do that. I just had to give him my yes. So, we all have a spot in his kingdom. For the demon-possessed man, it was finding it through him being launched into ministry, healed and then launched, right? And then even when we say yes and it starts to feel like we're sinking, God's still going to grab our hand and he's still going to take that first yes that we gave him.
Let the Holy Spirit take you deep in the river of his presence. This week, let him take you deeper than you have ever been before. Let him romance you like you have never been romanced by the Lord before. That's what he did with Katie all summer long. He took her deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what he wants to do with each of us. So, Father, I send your sons and daughters to enjoy your presence not only on this holiday weekend, but all week long, to be your ambassadors everywhere you've called them to walk. Take them deeper and use them to pour your glory onto those around them. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Have a blessed week.